Today is the 8th of January, 2017, and it's been some cold, cold days up here in Pineville. Very, very unclimate-like. It's characteristically not this cold in this part of the country. Even down in Alabama, got snow. In fact, we went down south in Arkansas yesterday, down to Winslow, Arkansas, and also we went on over to Fort Smith Lake State Park, and there was snow on the ground over there. That's a big deal when that happens down there. Just by way of announcements, we are going to be having a talk show tomorrow night. And I've tried to send out everybody an announcement with the link and the number and the code. I haven't had a chance to. I sent Chris Turner in the updated change. I had to change the time. We were planning on doing a little earlier, but there was a conflict. So we're going to be doing it at 7:30 tomorrow evening. That'll allow people to get home from work. That'll be actually 8:30 Eastern time. And the topic is going to be the physical Jew in contrast to the spiritual Jew according to the Bible. We're going to look at that. And anyway, we're going to have a time of fellowship for any of those afterwards that would like to share with us. The first song we're going to sing is going to be a song that we used to sing in the Arminian churches, but we had to change the words of it because it says when we all get to heaven. Unfortunately, we're not all going to get to heaven. So we sing it when all God's elect get to heaven, when all the elect get to heaven. Only God's sheep are going to be in heaven because that's for whom Christ died. And so Eliza Hewitt and Emily Wilson, when they coined this song, they kind of were leaning toward universalism. But I like the song and the rest of it. except for this all has to be explained, doesn't it? 423. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place when all God's elect get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when all God's elect see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. I'm going to have to go down a little bit. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When all God's elect get to heaven, What a day of rejoicing that will be when all God's elect, Jesus, will sing and shout the victory. Mark, do we have a selection?
Yeah. 426.
Leaning on the everlasting arms. There's a lot of people that don't believe his arms are everlasting. They believe they're temporary. They don't believe in everlasting life. They believe in temporary life. I'm glad that we can lean on the everlasting arms of God. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Okay, Rosette wants to sing Psalm 52, page 52, Psalm 100C, page 52, Psalm 100C. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. Okay, well, let's conclude this part of our fellowship. Go over to the other part of our service by singing page 421. O Thou in Whose Presence, page 421 in the old school hymnal. O Thou in Whose Presence my soul takes delight, on whom in afflictions I call, my comfort by day and my song in the night, my home, my salvation, my all. Where dost thou at noontide resort with thy sheep, to feed on the pastures of love? Say, why in this valley of death should I weep, or alone in the wilderness roam? Oh, why should I wander an alien from day, and cry in the desert for bread? Thy foes will rejoice when my sorrows they see, and smile at the tears I have shed. Ye daughters of Zion, declare if you sing the star that on Israel shone. Say if in your tents my beloved has been, and there with his flock he has gone. What is thy beloved, thy dignified fair? What excellent beauties has he? His charms and perfections be pleased to declare, that we may embrace him with thee. This is my beloved, his form is divine, his vestments are shadowed around, the locks of his head are as grapes on the vine, when autumn with plenty is crowned. The roses of Sharon, the lilies that grow in the vales on the banks of the stream, on his cheeks all the beauty of excellence grow, and his eyes are as quiver of beam. His voice as the sound of the dulcimer sweet is heard through the shadows of death. The cedars of Lebanon bow at his feet. The air is perfumed with his breath.
Well, please remember us if God would see fit to give you the liberty to pray for us this week. And we will do the same for you. We all have burdens and cares of this life that we go through. And God is a hearing and prayer answering God. He has ordained prayer. He has ordained prayer. A lot of people say, well, you're a big-time sovereignty of God person. Why pray if God predestinates everything that happens anyway? And I said, well, we pray because he tells us to. He even gave us a model prayer, didn't he? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so on. I want to look at a couple passages that we've looked at before, but I want to look at it in a little bit different light today. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, Now this, I'm going to go on into the 12th chapter, but I'm going to just look at the latter part of the 11th chapter, Matthew. Now this is after Christ has really come against the Pharisees for their just absolute reprobate behaviors. But then he says in the 25th verse, he says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, one of the things that we have talked about often over the years is how that Christ's doctrine is repeated over and over in the Gospels. This is the, this is Matthew writing. And he's saying the same thing that John wrote. He's quoting Christ here. And he's saying that Christ said in the 27th verse, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. What did the writer John say? He said, all the Father given me will come to me. It's the same thing. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth the man the Father save the Son, and to he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. That's the same thing he said in John when he said that no man can come unto him unless he is drawn of him. Same thing. So God, through his Son Jesus Christ, reveals his doctrine over and over, and it's very consistent. He doesn't say one thing and then change it later on. Very consistent. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. Neither knoweth any man of the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now, this is a very comforting scripture that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's a very, very comforting scripture for us. For all of us were born and conceived in sin, and we were all in that condition where we were heavy laden and burdened with sin. And we were in need of a Savior. If we were God's elect, he died for us and caused us to see that we were in need of a Savior. Okay? And now I want to go over to the 12th chapter. And I want to go, again, I want to look at the latter part of that chapter, beginning with verse 35. Now, here we have a lot of interesting things happening. The Pharisees are accusing Jesus of being demon-possessed. They were trying to say that Christ was casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Notice in 24. When the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Now, it's interesting because when we start talking about, people making charges against God and against his people, oftentimes the very thing that they're guilty of is what they will accuse other people of. You never noticed that? These people were devil worshipers. They were, Christ said they were of their father, the devil, and the works of the Father they would do. He said, you are not of my sheep. You of your father, the devil. He says, I'm from above, you're from beneath. And yet they're accusing him of casting out devils by Beelzebub. Notice what Jesus says in verse 25. Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Now, that has a lot of implications in that verse for us, and I want to go over it with us. And I think this verse is very apropos for what we as God's elect are going through today. He says every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. We've just seen the demise of the Democratic Kingdom. The demise of Hillary Clinton and the demise of Obama. You know, and she really brought him down. She brought Obama down by her actions, didn't she? By doing all this crazy stuff. You know, she wasn't even very smart, was she? But you know what? They are both of the kingdom of Satan. But you know what? Donald Trump, by all appearances, is also the kingdom of Satan, because he's endorsing Zion. He's a Zionist. But the point I'm trying to make out here is it doesn't matter what kingdom you're talking about. If you're divided, it's going to come down. We've looked down through history and we've seen where infighting starts taking place within different countries. And before long, there's a term they have for it. It's called a coup. And somebody comes and takes over the country, don't they? A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. We've seen it down through the years in the Roman Catholic Church. There was one time when there was three or four different popes at the same time. Well, the other thing we have to realize is that there is two kingdoms represented on the face of this earth. The kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of Christ. Two kingdoms. And the interesting thing about it is Jesus Christ is actually over both kingdoms. Satan thinks he's got his own kingdom going on. And Scripture tells us that Satan is the prince and the power of the earth, that, and he works in the children of disobedience. But Satan can't do anything without God's superintending hand over him, evidenced by what happened in the book of Job. Now here we see, he goes on and he says that in verse 26, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? They were accusing him of casting out Satan by Beelzebub, Christ of this impossibility. How can Satan cast out Satan? Now, this is interesting because the Jewish people have forsaken the Word of God for the Talmud and for the Kabbalah. And the Talmud and the Kabbalah absolutely come against God, His Word, and against Christ. In fact, they say that Christ is in hell right now. They deny Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God. And they more particularly deny that He is their Messiah. But Jesus said, if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall that then his kingdom stand? Why do you think that these Kabbalists and these Talmudists are wanting to cast Christ out and spit on the floor in their synagogues when his name's mentioned? Because they realize they are of a different kingdom. They are not of the kingdom of Christ. They do not uphold the kingdom of Christ. They abhor Christ. They abhor God. They abhor anything associated with Him. They have created their own God in their minds through this Talmud and through this Kabbalah and through this Babylonian worship and through, you know, child sacrifice and through pedophilic behavior and this Shekinah glory and this sexual immorality and all of this stuff. That's why Satan's not going to cast out Satan. They're not going to cast out their own kind. If they do any casting out, they're going to cast out the Christians, aren't they? Sure they are. Christ says in verse 27, and if by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. He was basically, you know what Christ was doing there? He was saying they were devil-possessed. That's what he was saying. How could they not be devil-possessed if they were child of the devil? He said, you're of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. That's devil possession. He says,
Verse 28, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. In other words, he had just cast out these devils from this person, and he's informing them that he did it by the Spirit of God. They had just witnessed a miraculous event by God himself. And they were trying to attribute it to Beelzebub. He goes on and says, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Now this also has a lot of implications. You know, that's what the Jews have done to the United States. They've entered into this house and they have bound the Christians with all this false doctrine. They brought in the Roman Catholic Church, they brought in Jesuitism, they brought in seminary, they brought in dispensationalism, they brought in false doctrine, they brought in the free will of man, they've denied the election, they've denied Jesus Christ and his power, and they put man upon the throne. They bound the strong man. And they've spoiled the house, haven't they? He says in verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. Now the Jews want to call, they want us to call this nation a Judeo-Christian nation. The Jews aren't with us. They hate Jesus Christ. John Hagee's not with us. He denies that Jesus Christ came as a Messiah for the Jews. Paul Crouch is not with us. C.I. Schofield is not with us. Sperry Schaefer of Dallas Theological Seminary is not with us. You know, and neither is Billy Graham or a host of others that I could name. Why is that? Because it says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. All you dispensational teachers out there that are so proud that you're dispensational and teaching these lies are not with us. We don't fellowship with the works of darkness. You know, there is no other way to Christ but through Jesus Christ. And if you try to climb up some other way, you're a thief and a robber. I had someone recently get real upset with me for coming against, you know, dispensationalism. And I will continue to come against it. It's a false gospel. It's a false gospel. Now, they want to talk about the fact that the Jews are God's chosen people. Well, these Jews, and a lot of these aren't Jews, a lot of them are crypto-Jews, a lot of them are not even Jews. They're the synagogue of Satan. They say they're Jews, but they're not. Okay? But even if they are Jews, if they've denied Jesus Christ as their Messiah, then Christ says, if you're not for me, you're against me. That's what he says. He says that he that is not with me and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Billy Graham has scattered the sheep. Sperry Schaefer scattered the sheep. John Hagee has scattered the sheep. Pat Robertson has scattered the sheep. You know, putting out all this Zionist lies. By the way, there's no such thing as a Zionist Christian. That's an oxymoron in terms. A Zionist can't be a Christian, and a Christian can't be a Zionist. Okay? Now he says, verse 31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto you. Do you realize these people who are saying you can climb up some other way, and that the Jews are God's chosen people, and they don't have to accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Do you realize that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit? That's what it's doing. He goes on to say in verse, he says, this shall not be forgiven unto men, and whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man. You know, the Jews in their Talmud and in their Kabbalah speak all kinds of words against Jesus Christ. They hate Jesus Christ with a vehemence. They blaspheme his holy name. They blaspheme him in their temples and their synagogues. They spit on the floor when his name is mentioned. Well, here's what Christ said. Whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. They were accusing Christ of casting out Satan by Beelzebub here. Okay, he goes on, he says, verse 33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. In other words, don't try to walk that line between good and evil. You know? Either these Jews who are proclaiming that they're God's chosen people and they're exempt from trusting Jesus Christ as their Messiah, and they're exempt from the blood of Christ, and they're exempt from all of these things. They're corrupt. They're corrupt. Verse 34, O ye generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. This is something that I've struggled with the Arminian dispensational Zionist. You know, they talk all this pious stuff all the time. And they'll use scripture. And they'll come across so sweet and kind and loving. And all of that. But at the same time, they reject Christ's own words and his own doctrine. Verse 36, I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. When somebody tells you, I don't go along with that election thing, okay? When somebody tells you, you know, nobody's going to take my free will away from me. When somebody tells you, you know, I don't believe in predestination. When someone tells you, I don't believe that the King James Version of the Bible is God's word. When somebody tells you, I don't believe a person has eternal life just because the Bible says that. In other words, they have to prove it and all of this stuff. Listen, what it says here is, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, the same thing happened here as happens right now to us. What do you think happened here? People got upset. And who got upset? The same kind of people that get upset today. Either the Jews or the Jewish sympathizers. You know, it's like people that say, well, I'm not homosexual, but I believe they start stuttering. They don't take a stand against homosexuality. Well, that's how a lot of people do with the Jews. Well, we're a Judeo-Christian nation. You know, they believe the Old Testament. We believe, no, they don't. They don't believe the Old Testament. They've rejected God's law, and they have established a new law, the law unto themselves. the Talmud and the Kabbalah. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, "We would see a sign unto thee from thee." That's what people are looking for today. They're looking for a sign. They're looking for a sign, you know. And Christ said there's not going to be any sign given you. Sign's already been given you. He says, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to thee to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." He was speaking of himself. He said, I'm a lot greater than Jonah. I'm the eternal Son of God. And you're wanting a sign from me. Here I've turned water into wine. I've fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and fishes. I've fed 4,000 people with loaves and fishes. I've just cast out these devils from this guy. I've healed a man with a withered hand. I've raised Lazarus from the dead. I have healed lepers. You don't need a sign. He says the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. In other words, Jesus Christ was saying that he was the personification of wisdom. He was wisdom personified. He was wiser than Solomon. He created Solomon. He says, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. When he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. They enter in and dwell there, and the last say to that man is worse than him. Even so it shall be also unto this wicked generation." Well, I want to go on, and I want us to recognize that I think there was a spiritual lesson in the latter part of this chapter as well, whenever they came and told him that his mother wanted to talk to him. And he said, "Who is my mother and who's my brethren?" You know? And then he said, in verse 48, "Who is my mother and who are my brethren?" He stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, "Behold, my brethren, brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother." You know, there's a lot of people that are holding on to their physical relatives today, even though their physical relatives are into false doctrine. They deny the truth that Christ taught. But they want to hold on to their physical kins, don't they? They want to fellowship with them. They want to go to family reunions with them. They want to celebrate the holidays with them. You know, I think there's a spiritual lesson here. You know, he says the only people that are our spiritual mothers and brothers are those who are adhering to what Christ taught. You know? Well, anyway, this is kind of what I wanted to talk about today. Hopefully this has been instructive and something to think about. But I just want to just say this, that there's a whole massive group of people out there that want to say you should not ever speak against the Jewish religion, because they're God's chosen people. Let me tell you something. If the Jewish people you're talking about are denying Jesus Christ and blaspheming his name, I'm going to speak against him. And you can call me an anti-Semite. You can call me anything you want to call me. You know? And you might say, well, can God save Jewish people? God can save whoever he chose from the foundation of the world. And he will. For all for whom Christ died, he saved. Okay? And I don't know who those are. But I know one thing. If they're not confessing Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Messiah, I'm not going to uphold them as God's chosen people. And if they're blaspheming his name, they're not with me. I can tell you that. So that's my thoughts this morning. And we're living in some very, very perilous times. We're going to see a lot more preoccupation with the statehood of Israel and Zion, people that call themselves Christian Zionists. Now you've got these Judaizers and these actual Jews actually teaching in what they say the Christian church. It's not a Christian church. Like I said earlier, Zionism is not Christian and Christian is not Zionism. You know, and they never, the twain shall meet. Do we have a final selection? 194 has been selected. O Christ, he is the fountain. 194. I had someone recently send me an email saying, where did you ever get that just because of dispensational is teaching that you know that the Jews don't have to know Jesus and don't have to trust in Jesus? Well, my only thing to say, my only response to that person is, where have you been? Have you not read C.I. Scofield's footnotes? Have you not read Sperry Schaefer? Have you not read and listened to where Billy Graham has said that the Jews don't have to be saved? Have you not even read where Bill Bright said you shouldn't proselyte? And that, and even as it relates to the Roman Catholics. And so you know that these people, why do you think they don't just call all the Jews Christians? Why do you think they call it Judeo-Christian? Because the Jews don't want to be called Christians. And they certainly don't want any proselyting going on in their country, do they? 194. O Christ, he is the fountain, the deep sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There too in ocean fullness his mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in my Emmanuel's land. Oh, I am my beloved's, and my beloved's mine. He brings a poor vile sinner into his house of wine. I stand upon his merit, I know no other stand. Not inward glory dwelleth in my Emmanuel's land. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Nor at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. A lamb is all the glory of my Emmanuel's land. Well, again, just be reminded of the talk show tomorrow night. Hopefully you have a blessed day. It's going to be at 7:30 Central Time, 8:30 Eastern Time. And we're going to be talking a little bit further with Chris Dernerin, and hopefully others will join us regarding the contrast between
the spiritual Jew and the physical Jew. God bless.